like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Now when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough, cause you notice that butt was stuffed. Deep in the jeans she's wearing, I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh,
welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We are going to talk about some big butts. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking?
That song, that's got some bottom to it right there. It's so appropriate. But who doesn't get the badunkadunk going on that thing?
Right. Yeah.
You try, if nothing else. Right.
Twerk and me are not friends. I can tell you that right now.
Picking your butt. So I thought it would be cool to talk about how you determine what you're going to do for a butt. You mentioned boneless or not.
Right. Yeah, and when you walk into a butcher shop or any place that is a meat market, you might have to ask for...
Where there's big butts.
Boston butt or pork shoulder or pork butt are all terms that are synonymous to this big front shoulder of a hog that everybody, when it's done, calls pulled pork, right? So... Depending on where you are, they may come in a two-pack that are kind of cryovac together, or you may be able to buy them singularly.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, this is this big, heavy hunk of meat.
Boston butt, that, pork shoulder.
Right, that either comes with the shoulder blade in it, or it's been removed with a knife. I think there's about a 50-50 school out there of which one you like versus the other, but there's always a fat cap.
And the terminology can get you in trouble on that too.
Right.
Because it's funny because you said butt, shoulder, all this stuff. Some places you go, if you say, I want a pork shoulder, they'll actually give you the shoulder, the shank portion, which is a picnic if it's smoked.
Okay. Yep.
Sometimes you'll get the Boston butt and the shoulder.
Right.
And right. So terminology,
with the leg on it. You're talking the shank down to the elbow.
Yeah.
That's what
the
makes it a picnic.
The picnic. And that's a different type of piece of meat. And you even said people call it this or that. Well, some people don't even call it pulled pork. Some people call it barbecue. When they're saying, I'm going to get some barbecue, it's just pulled pork.
Right.
But they just call it. So terminology is just crazy.
Yep. Over the map. Could be regional. Just might be in your neighborhood.
It's very regional.
However that works. But... Personally, this is a big, heavy, dense, thick piece of meat. It's the size of a volleyball, generally. Okay, so you can season the heck out of this thing, and it's never going to get on the inside. So you're creating a flavor profile with the smoke and the seasoning on the outside half inch of this thing, and the rest of it's just the pork's got to do the work, man. But I prefer them boneless, because when that happens is the butcher... has cut that shoulder blade out of there. And what happens is that opens up that and gives me more surface area to get seasoning on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's the only reason I like one versus the other, is because I feel like I can get the seasoning inside and go top and bottom.
And you like to put garlic in it and close it. There's another way you can actually do that, in that just put your rub on the whole thing, smoke it wide open. Now you've got more bark, if that's what you're trying to get. And I love the bark part on a butt, because butt's boring. Right. But it's kind of nice to get a more smoke ring that way. You talk about how you're going to serve it. What are you going to do with it? You know, in some areas, they'll have it boned. They'll bind it like you do. You know, they'll season it, bind it back up, smoke the whole thing, and they'll slice it. That's their idea of barbecue.
But so we just covered a lot of ground that I want to slow back down and re-hit. Bark. What is bark? Because you hear that term, but explain to the people what bark is.
It's a chemical reaction, basically, to salts and sugars and the proteins of the meat and the fats congealing and being cooked with smoke, or not smoke, but typically smoke.
Right.
And... it gets black and crusty because you actually have a penetration of the smoke into the meat. For, you know, the deeper the penetration, the better. You'll see if you cut a piece of meat open like that, you'll see a real dark pink ring around it.
And that's where I want to go.
That's your smoke ring.
Right, because the novice person, or maybe somebody that doesn't know barbecue, their first reaction is, ooh, I can't eat that because that pork's not done. Because it's pink still, where it's actually the exact opposite. That is the most done piece of that meat, but the smoke, when it penetrates that pork shoulder, it turns it pink, right? There's a chemical reaction there. So when you look at that pink piece of pork, it's actually, if you've cooked it right, it's the most done piece of the whole shoulder.
Well, if that's what your smoke penetrated, it is definitely the most done piece.
Right, yeah.
And that's why you take your digital probe and go into the center of that mass
right.
to get your temperature read.
Yep. So when we're porking,
when we're
cooking a pork butt, yeah, when we're cooking this, we want to cook it slow and indirect, right? We're not grilling this, we're smoking it, correct? Indirect
usually.
Heat.
Usually.
Yes. Yep. So where I'm going is if you don't have a smoker, then you could create your grill with heat on the left, meat on the right, and you want to be at about what temperature, Bob, when you're cooking this on a slow basis?
Well, everybody's equipment, if you've got that weak little spirit grill I was using,
yeah,
you're going to take whatever temperature one burner will give you.
Right.
Because if it's a small surface, I mean, you've got to get that meat over to one side so that you can have an indirect area. So
right.
a lot of it depends on the size of your grill. And I would tell you if you're looking for a grill, keep that in mind and don't go to the cheap one. You don't have to buy the $4,000 grill, but really be careful because a good grill should last you 10 to 20 years. Don't buy a grill that doesn't do these things that you want it to do. So keep in mind, you might want to do indirect grilling. Let's say you're not going to get a smoker.
Right.
Shame on you. Get a smoker.
Right.
But even if you do buy that wrong grill, you can go to, Masterbuilt or any of these cheap Chicom brands of smokers, and you can for $200 you can pick up some little piece of trash like that that'll do a decent job smoking, or you can go down to Garrett's and get that stainless Tex box
from Texas,
$379.
Right,
anybody can buy that.
Right.
Now our buddy Dave Duzma, his wife Betsy called me last year because she wanted a birthday present for him.
Right.
She bought him that. Garrett's actually delivered it to their cottage. And Dave is madly in love now with
his wife or the smoker or both?
Both.
It's
a menage.
There you go, Dave. Yeah. He's a strong supporter of the Grilling Guys show and always a lot of fun.
Barbecue étoile.
Right, yeah. He's helped us with our GI barbecue, which we'll talk about a little bit at the end of the show here. But back to the pork butt. So you didn't answer the question, but when we're indirect heat, you're 250 to 270. You want to slow cook this thing. You don't want to run this at 400 because you want the slower the cook, the more tender it's going to be.
And
when
you know,
it's done.
Some of these cheaper grills won't have a temperature gauge on them.
Right.
I'm thinking like a Weber kettle or some cheap kettle that, is just going to be charcoal, and that's a wonderful smoking device.
Mm-hmm.
It should have. If it doesn't, just buy one and clip it on it, or find a way to check your temperature, even if it means sticking your probe in the exhaust vent.
Right.
But get your temperature. Yeah, you're going to want to go 250, 275, and put smoke on it for a few hours and then back off on the smoke and just cook it.
Yeah. So coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit deeper about the time and temperature and the techniques that you're going to use to make sure this thing turns out right. Because Bob mentioned earlier that do you want to pull it? Do you want to slice it? How do you want to serve this? Because that's going to make a difference on what temperature you bring this thing to serve. You're listening to The Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
I ain't talking about Playboy, because silicone parts are made for toys. I want them real thick and juicy, so find that juicy double. Mix-a-lot's in trouble, begging for a piece of that bubble. So I'm looking at rock videos.